Chapter 8, and we're going to talk about missions giving this morning. Sometimes, if you're not careful, you can think, well, everybody knows about that. Well, you can't say that if you don't teach on it, and so I want to teach on it this morning. Again, I think most of us are familiar with this passage of Scripture. Some people call it faith promise giving. Some people call it free will missions giving. I've been in churches that call it grace giving. Amen. But we're going to talk about it today, teach about it, what it is, what it isn't, the blessings that go along with it, and look forward to a good series here. Okay, if you would, there in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and I'm just going to go ahead and read verses 1 through 15. I'm going to read quick, amen, so you listen quick, amen. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy, their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. By the way, great paradoxes there, great contrasts. It says that they're in a great trial of affliction, and yet they had joy. Amen? Hey, let me just sidebar. Happiness is based on happenings. Joy comes from God. And then what does it say? It talks about their deep poverty, and yet they abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Here was a poor church, and they thought it was important to give to missions. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. This is a mission offering that they gave to Paul. And take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, before you ever give this, God wants this. Now, the truth is, many people have given these through the years, and God eventually got this. I understand that. You understand that. Amen. But it's a whole lot better to say, God, I'm yours. You can have me. I surrender myself to you. And then, that's what happened here with these. They first gave their own selves. Verse 6, insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Talking about giving. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, and in diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also, giving, missions giving. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, to prove the sincerity of our love. By the way, 2 years ago, that was our missions conference theme. Proving our love. Amen. For ye know, and here it is, ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. I have a note in my Bible right here. It says, commit yearly to increase your giving. And then it says in verse 11, now therefore perform the doing of it. I have in big letters in my Bible, Brother Lolly. Now do it. That's what he's saying here, amen. Be forward of a year ago. Hey, we ought to have greater faith than we did last year. Amen? And this is talking about here, our faith in the missions offering and in giving, amen, having that faith. What does it say? Verse 11, now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. Okay? Giving out of that which we have. Praise God, God's proportional. If you're not rich, He doesn't expect you to give like the rich man. Amen? He's proportional. Then He says, for if there first be a willing mind, it is accepted, according that a man hath, and not according to that which he hath not. For I mean that other men be not that other men be eased and ye be burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he that hath gathered much hath nothing over, and he that gathered little hath no lack. Okay, missions giving. What you got your lesson there. I believe God's plan for carrying out the great commission of our Lord is by faith. The Bible says, without faith it is impossible to please Him. Amen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And I like what the scholar had said. Every heart without Jesus is a mission field, and every heart with Jesus should be a missionary. You see, we've heard all these missionaries. Brother Collins is going to Mexico, and Brother Crawford to Nicaragua, and Miss Joy to Brazil, and all that is wonderful, and we support many missionaries around the world. But you know what? Each one of us is a missionary. Each one of us should bring the gospel to somebody else. But Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, first in Jerusalem, and then in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world." And I believe God gives us a program there. Listen, if we're not missionaries at home, why should we expect missionaries to go across the world on our behalf? Reaching Jackson, reaching Munich, amen. Reaching Brooklyn, where you live, amen. Be a missionary where you live. Okay? But then, God does tell us the last words of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospel of Matthew are, "Jesus came unto them and spake and said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you all." All nations, not just America. All nations. How do we do that, folks? How do we accomplish that? Listen, would God tell us to do something that we cannot do? No. Matter of fact, in the beginning there, verse 18, He tells us how. All power is given unto me. Okay? How do we do it? Missions. Missions giving. Missions giving is how Loomis Park Baptist Church fulfills the Great Commission. Missions giving. Us giving and sending. Romans chapter 10 talks about how shall they preach except they be sent. That's what we do. We send people on our behalf. Churches like us send people on our behalf. What, you have your outline there. What is missions, or what missions giving is not? What missions giving is not? We have ushers in our church, amen, and they come by with the offering plates. This is good news for some of you. It is not something which anyone will come around and collect. No one will call you. You will not be billed for any unpaid portion. Imagine Brother Lowell on Monday as you go down and you're going through the envelopes. And you see this, okay, and this person gives it. And we got a card from this person and they didn't give it. And Lowell McGee says, calls up and says, "Brother Merrill, this is Brother McGee again."
My wife didn't
"And the woman thou gavest me," that's what he just said, amen. And you know, you didn't give your missions again this month, and you didn't give it last month, and nobody's going to do that. No, I actually heard of a church. I played softball with a church one time, not a Baptist church, it was another church, and they actually said the reason that they left that church was they went on vacation and they got a bill from the church when they came back. Are you kidding me? If I'm lying, I'm dying. I'm telling you, he told me that, so you've got to be kidding me. A, it is not something which anyone will come around to collect. B, it is not something, and this is so important, it is not something that is given after all else is done. We are never to give God the leftovers. Amen? Some people want that spare tire religion. They only go to God when they need to. No. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, And all these things shall be added unto you. And so, faith is to be first and foremost, not afterwards. God has earned their right and instructed us to put Him and His work first. Okay? And we've talked about this pretty extensively this week. Missions giving is not to be taken out of or away from your tithes and offerings, which support your local church. The tithe is the Lord's, to be brought to the storehouse to the local church. You're in 2 Corinthians 8. Flip back a couple pages there to 1 Corinthians 16. Here's Paul in the church at Corinth that had a multitude of problems. And in the first, all 16 chapters of 1 Corinthians, he really deals with their problems. And one of the problems they had was with offerings. My friend Marty Schott says often, when you talk about money, people get funny. And that's true, amen? We're all that way. He says here, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Back in Malachi chapter 3, it says, bring ye the tithes to the storehouse, okay? So your missions offering is not in place of your tithes. It's above and beyond your tithes, okay? So what missions giving is not? What missions giving is, okay? First of all, if you go back to 2 Corinthians there, it is a willing offering from you. It's a willing offering. It's not something that I look at you and... And listen, praise God, I believe in positive peer pressure. I do. Listen, some people, all pressure's bad. Did you take a shower this morning? You'll be glad you had pressure. Yeah. Yeah. Amen? Yeah, hey, did you drive here this morning? Glad you had air pressure?
Oh, absolutely.
Amen? If a preacher holds us up and says, you ought to do this, there's nothing wrong with that kind of pressure.
Right.
It's the right kind of pressure.
That's right.
Right kind, amen? And so, but it's this idea here is it's a willing offering. You're in 2 Corinthians. Look at verse 12. For if there first be a what? Willing mind. Willing. Okay? Willingness, a spirit of bountifulness and liberality. You know, when I think of willing offerings, I think of the widow's mite. I think of where the Bible says, if you give a cup of cold water in the name of the Lord, you'll not lose your reward. That's something that we do willing. Remember in the Old Testament when David said, oh, that I had a drink from Bethlehem's well. Oh, I just remember how cool and sparkling. And what did his three men do? They went and got it for him. It went and got it for him. And so it's a willing offering that we give unto the Lord, this idea of missions giving. Philippians 4:18 says, but I have all in abound and am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. Missions giving is a willing offering. B, it is you asking God to show you and obeying what He wants you to give to world missions. Okay? And the Bible says in Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. You fill this out, you ask God about it, you put this in, God is working through you. But then, this is why this is such a big deal. It's a covenant. Not something we can just put in one week and then say, ah. When I came to be the pastor of Loomis Park Baptist Church, I had a missions commitment at Harvest Baptist Church in New Hartford, Connecticut. And until, Brother Randall, their missions year ended, I didn't give to missions here. Because I had made a commitment. I had made a covenant. And that church was depending upon that money. You have to remember that. Not just the church, but the missionaries are depending. When we get ready and set our budget, and Lord willing, take on new missionaries, and all God's people said, they're depending on us to do our part. By the way, I'll just say this. I appreciate people who leave money in their will to missions. Huh. Talk about he being dead yet speaketh. And it keeps going into missions, and they keep laying up rewards even though they're already up there. Amen. It is a heart matter of trusting God and His promises in the matter of sowing and reaping on earth and in heaven. Look, if you would, over here in 2 Corinthians 8. Look at 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. We use these verses for tithe, and I think they're appropriate, but really, in the context here, it's talking about the missions offering. Chapter 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 has to do with the missions offering. And it says there, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." Hey, do you believe that in your life? Do you believe that? I tell you, if we really believe that, not once in a while, because you know what you'll reap? Once in a while. If you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. If you sow bountifully in this area of missions, you're saying, you know what, God? I really believe that verse. Hey, you know what, God? I really believe that verse that says right there, it's so sparing. I really believe it with all my heart. I'm going to perform the doing of it. You are absolutely trusting God and His promises in this matter. You're saying God can be trusted. And then it says in verse 7, "Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." And then I love verse 8. We forget verse 8 a lot. It said, "And God," here you are giving, and some of us are giving like this. "Oh Lord, okay, I'm obeying you, but I'm chewing my fingernails about it. I have no idea how I'm going to be able to do this." What's it say in verse 8? "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things," boy, that's a lot of alls, "may abound to every good work." You think God's going to let you starve and let His name be mud because you gave a little bit extra to missions? I don't think so. I don't think so. Amen. Thank God for this idea here. It's a heart matter. Trusting God. D, it is trusting God enough to be moved to action. That's what our theme is all about this week. Our obedience equals God's obligation. That widow woman, you see there, and you could go through it, the servant, the sacrifice, and the sustaining. You remember what happened is Elijah came along and said, "Make me a little cake first." And she said, "I'm just going to make one and die." He said, "Listen, go ahead. You go ahead and do what you're going to do for you and your son, but make me one first." And what did he say? That the barrel of meal and the cruse of oil shall not fail until God sends rain on the earth. And what happened? Exactly that. But listen, she trusted God enough that it produced action. You know, God wrote a whole chapter about that in the New Testament. James chapter 2. Faith without works is dead. Faith produces works. Amen. In this case, faith, trusting God in this matter, in His Word, will produce works. Amen. It will produce us wanting to give and wanting to get involved in missions. Amen. So we see there the servant, the sacrifice, the sustaining. What missions giving will do. Number three, Roman numeral number three. It enables the church to actively fulfill the Great Commission in reaching the world for Christ. You know, churches without a missions program are defunct, disobedient to Christ. They're not reaching all nations. They're not even attempting to reach all nations. Now, hey, I would love, I can't remember how many, I want to say it's 215, but I could be wrong, flag-flying nations that there are. Wouldn't it be something? Brother Curry's saying, no, it wouldn't be right now. But wouldn't it be something, Brother Curry, if we had to mount 215 flags on this wall because that's all the missionaries we supported all over the world? I went into a church one time. I was newly saved. What is the name of that church? It's the Fairfax Baptist Temple down in Fairfax, Virginia. Amazing church, brother Bud Calvert. And I remember I went in there. We were newly saved. I was a new Christian, and we were down visiting my sister-in-law. and they had the Hall of Missions. And the Hall of Missions was longer than our sanctuary. And I went down in this one, and I was just probably giving $5 a week to missions. Just started, amen. And I remember going up seeing this. Here's a missionary prayer letter. And talked about them. They had the prayer card. It was really nice mounted. And I went down to the next one that was here. And the next one that was here. And the next one that was here. And it went all the way down on both sides. And then they had another hall, Brother Horace, just as long. Had a man in their church giving over $1 million a year to missions. Glory to God. Amen. It allows us. Hey, by the way, glory to God for your $5. Amen. Glory to God for your dollar. Glory to God. It allows us to fulfill, to be obedient to the great commission that God has given us to teach all nations. Okay? B, it encourages a united effort. We're in it together. I'm going to be preaching on that soon, on the thought of endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You know, it's work. It's work to not get offended by a brother or sister. Say amen, it's okay. If you say it really loud, we'll know it's you, amen. No, it's work, amen. It really is. You have to work at it. And that's what missions is. Hey, listen, you know what? We don't have time for our petty squabbles when the Grahams are depending on our money to get there. We have a petty squabble that could turn into a big fight, that could turn into a blowout, that could turn into a split, and the Grahams would have to come off the field. Amen. No, it encourages united effort, missions giving. It encourages united effort. C, it produces good stewardship. It produces good stewardship. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. So let a man account of us as ministers of Christ, as stewards of the mystery of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Teaches us to be faithful. Hey, by the way, that's one of the reasons why I'm filling cards out for my boys. They don't tithe yet. They don't get any money to tithe. Amen. When they do get some money, they tithe off it for sure, but they don't get like a weekly. But you know what? I can make sure a dollar's set aside for missions each week. Make sure you put that in, boys. Make sure you mark that for missions. That's for the missionaries. Amen. It encourages good. I want my boys to be good stewards. I think of Brother Matt Apple mentioned when he broke his ankle, I want to say last year, and we were over to visit him. And we, Pastor Donald and I, we shoveled their walk and felt so bad for him. He had his leg laid up, and I'm over there, Brother Mark, and I'm trying to be an encouragement to him. I say, Brother Matt, you know what? Don't worry about it. God's going to take care of it. I said, you know, as a church, we'll rally around you. If you need some help, we'll help you. You know, and he's sitting there with his foot up, and he said, "Oh, Pastor," he said, "I'm not worried at all about it." He said, "I've been tithing and giving to missions since I was a boy." He said, "I know God will provide for me." Glory. That's good stewardship. That's good stewardship. Amen. And thank God. It encourages good stewardship, produces good stewardship. D, it allows us as a local church to partner with missionaries and become co-laborers with Christ in reaching people with the gospel. Dr. Vic told us all week long, God loves people. 2 Corinthians 5:14, for the love of Christ constraineth us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And he that died for all, that they which live should henceforth not live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. And when we live for Christ, we're going to live for others. There's not a higher part of the Christian faith about others than missions. I'm giving, Brother Hendershot, to people in most cases that I'll never see. Can I tell you what a joy it was in September? I hope I get to go back to go to the Philippines. By the way, please don't ever worry about me getting called to the Philippines. Please. If I wore this suit in the Philippines, Brother Abe, it'd be gray here and it'd be gray all over. Amen. From sweating. Unbelievable. Amen. But I remember what it was to sit there and shake all these hands of all these people coming through. And Brother Nona would say, this person got saved and that person got saved and had 10 baptisms. And see all these people. And I thought, I've been given to these people. Can you imagine what heaven's going to be like for missionary givers? I sung that song last week, thank you for giving to the Lord. Because I'm a life that's been changed. Listen, it's going to have to be eternity long just to meet all these people. Amen? Thank God. It allows us to partner with missionaries. I've been so impressed by the missionaries we had this week. And by the way, I'm often impressed. Many times, unimpressive missionaries impress me. I think about different fields that God gives people. I think about Brother Joe Marshall. The scripture signs. I'm telling you, I want to get in on that, Brother Lawley. Amen. I want to get in on that. I want to get to heaven and say, you know, I pass by that sign on the highway every week of my life, every day, and then finally I pulled over and bowed my head and trusted Christ. Somebody in heaven's going to be like that. Hey, you know what? We might as well get in on it, folks. Amen. We might as well get in on it. E, it puts first things first. Missions giving puts first things first. Reaching people for Christ ought to be first. Come on. Reaching people for Christ ought to be first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Is it important to God that eternal souls hear about someone that can help them to heaven? Sure is. That's what missions giving does. It says, you know what? First things first. F, it encourages the missionaries. Remember, Paul talked about how the offering of the Philippian church there in Philippians had lifted him. All right, I got to go fast here because I've got like 2 minutes here. Number four, missions giving is in accord with New Testament Christianity. You see in chapter 8 there's a commitment. They gave. There's a consecration. They gave themselves first. There's a compassion there. The love of Christ constraineth us. Christ's love for you moves us to missions, and our love for Christ moves us to missions. Amen. And then number five, three ways Christians participate in missions giving. Some give carelessly. This involves giving anything and everything that comes along under the guise of giving to missions. Well, this is usually preceded by the phrase, well, bless God. And I heard a preacher say, most times when you have to say bless God, God isn't usually blessed. That's pretty good. People say, oh, I'm just going to give it all. Okay, well, that's pretty careless. Then there is impulsively, carelessly, impulsively. This is to give only when you feel it, feel like it, when your emotions are stirred, when you are personally impressed. No? How about the last one? Systematically. This is setting a certain amount aside regularly, weekly, monthly, yearly. This is the scriptural way to give to missions. That's why we do it. You can depend on it. Set your budgets accordingly. Thank God for missions. I'm so glad I got involved in missions giving 19 years ago. 19 years ago. I've been giving to missions ever since. The Lord's been so good to us, to our family. Through missions giving. If you're worried about starving because you give to missions, may I just say, ta-da! Amen. God's good. God's good. Amen. And I look forward to this morning after our morning. So, Father,